Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
12:08 on a Friday afternoon. A story that's getting a lot of traction this week is about an historic mansion in Kansas City. The owners bought it thinking that it was a great house. And then they get in there and they realize it is going to need a lot of expensive work. And so now they're at the point where it would just make more sense financially to just tear this house down and rebuild or use the property rather than spend the money on the repairs.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like most houses that find themselves in situations like this, it's not just an historic house. And it is on the National Registry of Historic Places. But it's in a neighborhood that also is populated by a lot of houses that are of the same vintage, that look the same. And so the neighbors are saying, look, don't just give up on this place. Don't just knock it flat and build something new. Keep it. And I mean, if you bought a house like this, you have to know that a house that's been standing for 100 years or so is going to have some issues. It's going to have some problems.
But these aren't just some issues.
No, they're not.
These are hundreds of thousands of dollars. In fact,
possibly a million.
Here's the math. Okay. So this house dates back to 1918. It was added to the National Register of Historic Places in 1984. So Brian Schell, and if I'm not mistaken, this family lives in the Chicago area now, but intends to move their family here soon and then spend the rest of their lives here. They're going to move their kids here. And so that's why they bought this house. Mm-hmm. So Brian Schell paid $1.5 million to buy this home last September. They now are going before the Historic Preservation Committee, trying to get the okay to tear this house down because they say the home would need nearly $1 million of repairs just to make it livable. Not even to, that's just to fix stuff.
And this isn't a matter, in a lot of these cases, in this particular house, this isn't just a matter of things that they want to make it comfortable.
This is
we're talking about, by law, things like asbestos abatement, which is incredibly expensive.
Lead-based paint throughout the house and in the soil, the water lines requiring new windows, doors, replacement of boiler and plumbing, airborne asbestos, $1 million in just to make it livable. I mean, you're essentially taking it back down to the studs and you're taking everything out and you're starting over.
Yeah, you're rebuilding it from a shell.
That's going to cost $1 million. They paid $1.5 million for it, and they're at the point where they were told financially, they were told by the experts, financially, it makes more sense to just tear this house down.
Knock it flat and rebuild it. And they're also making the case that these things were not disclosed to them
when they
bought the house. And that's an important piece of this because, first of all, it makes you wonder if they couldn't go after the person who sold them the house and say, hey, if you've got asbestos in there, you have to disclose that. You don't get a choice. You got lead-based paint. You have to disclose that. And if they're being honest about this and those things weren't disclosed, they could sue.
Well, so, and I know Dana, I think, had asked this question too, and I'd heard someone ask, when I've bought houses, you get an inspection first.
Yep.
In order to turn up these things so that before closing, you can negotiate money to be added to the deal, or they have to fix it before you take possession of the house. Was there not an inspection that was done of this house? Because that would have turned up some of this.
Maybe not. And yes, you would hope that it would at least turn up some of it, especially when you're talking about old pipes and things like that. But in the inspections that I've had done before, and it hasn't been many, but there's been two or three of them over the years, they were concentrated mostly on structural.
Mm-hmm.
And that would include pipes, you know, plumbing and things like that. And any problems with the foundation, any problems with sagging and things like that. But when it comes to asbestos, I don't know that that's something they normally look
just
for. Maybe in a house that old,
yeah,
you'd hope that they would, you know, because you'd figure if it was put up in 1918, it's going to probably have some asbestos insulation and lead paint, you know, by law. I don't know. Not being a home inspector, I don't remember if they would look for that or not.
So initially, the contractors thought it would cost $100,000 to fix what was wrong.
Which puts you at $1.6 million.
Right.
Total investment.
Right. So keep in mind, it is so bad. There's black mold. There are so many problems that it is sealed off. They can't even go inside it. Before they even did any bit of reconstruction, contractors came back to this family and said it would be cheaper to tear it down and rebuild than to repair and remediate everything that is wrong. And they're stuck in a tough spot because you can't sell it now either.
No.
Now it's
who's going to buy it?
It's public. It's been all over the place. And so they're stuck with it. They either have to put in this $1 million in repairs, in which case now they've got $2.5 million into a house that's probably not worth that at that point. Or they sell it, but they can't.
And right, and not only can they not sell it,
they can't live in it.
They can't live in it, and you can see from the perspective of the neighbors, because what the neighbors are saying is, look, if they knock it flat and rebuild it, they're not going to rebuild it stone for stone to make it look like it did before,
right?
And they're afraid that what they build is going to be a modern home that's not going to fit the neighborhood.
Which, couldn't you put restrictions on that? I mean, it's on the National Register of Historic Places. There's got to be rules somewhere about what, and I'm sure that those rules exist about what this home can be rebuilt to, you know, what it would have to look like if you rebuild it. But it's also probably a rare situation where you go in not knowing this ahead of time.
Right, where it's in such bad shape that doing those repairs just doesn't make any financial sense.
So we've got some callers on the line that can give us some insight here.
One of whom says he knows this situation intimately. Let's go to Jason in KC. Hello, Jason.
Good afternoon, guys.
What's going on? How familiar are you with this situation here?
Well, I would say we're pretty familiar. I'd say the neighborhood's almost a little exhausted by the coverage that this is... gotten over the last couple of days, but happy to clarify any questions you might have.
Well, what
is, have we gotten anything wrong so
yeah,
far?
Yeah, really. What have we screwed up? I guess that's the easiest way to start.
No, just listening to your introduction, I'm not arguing anything that you've stated. You know, it's an unfortunate situation for the owners. This is a historic neighborhood. It is governed by the Landmarks Commission, so anything of change to any house from a curbside appeal does have to be approved by them. And in this situation, what was postponed this morning was just to see if it was historic nature was still viable. And from an outside perspective, that according to the staff report is still viable. And according to the staff report, that staff has denied it at this point. But some of the confusion that's come out, especially with a report that was out yesterday by KCTV5, the Homes Association Board of Directors did not tell neighbors to not comment or not say anything to the press. Especially, you know, probably didn't want to say anything because they were knocking on doors at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to talk either, sure.
Yeah, so things like that. But we certainly have said that every application has the process to ask, and we support that. That's what the process is for. And so we're just hoping that the process can play out accordingly. And you know, it's not just about one single situation. You have to watch that this doesn't set precedence for teardowns and rebuilds, and especially in historic neighborhoods, and especially with a home like this with the history it has.
Jason, do you know if there was an inspection done of this house?
I cannot speak personally to anything that during the transaction.
Because that's the big question everyone has.
I've read the same staff report you guys have in front of you. So I cannot speak to that. I would just say in normal situations, there's always an inspection that's done. And a lot of the problems that you indicated with this home, I can assure you that many of the homeowners in the surrounding area have had the same problems.
But have they all had to put $1 million into fixing them?
Well, it's just one of those things. You go into a home knowing that there's going to be, it's 100 years old. Plus.
But $1 million?
And you're going to go in and a lot of things are fixed. Oh, I can tell you some folks that have invested more than $1 million in their homes around that area.
But were those things that they chose to do or that they knew going in? Because the issue here is that these people are saying we didn't know going in or we might not have bought the house.
I can't speak to that. That's the personal transaction that they conducted.
We're just trying to represent
the history of the neighborhood.
Right. Understood. And what I was trying to establish before is, do you know, and if you don't, that's perfectly fine, if there's been any conversation about the previous owner of this house and about them going after the previous owner financially?
No, I cannot speak to that. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. Flip of a coin if you knew or not. But so is it just a matter of that, of protecting the integrity of the neighborhood? I mean, if they came to you and they said, look, we're going to build a place that's going to look exactly like this, we just can't do it with these bricks, would that pass?
Right. And these procedures are already in place. If you look at any neighborhood with historic stature like this, the process is already there, and you can read the staff report that in any situation, mm-hmm. and it's not just this home. And I don't, you know, it's unfortunate some of the comments that are getting a little personal on social media and things like that.
Welcome to social media, right. Friend.
Yep, that's how it works.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, but you know, from a stance of the board of directors, you know, we didn't actually take a stance. We were just being factual and sharing the information, being transparent of what's going on, what's happening. And just kind of interpreting the staff report and then thus the procedures and allowing the opportunity for any neighbors or anybody that is in this to go down and testify, whatever their opinion might be.
All right, Jason, thanks a lot for calling in and for clarifying some things. I guess my question is, what's the solution that could make everybody happy? And if Jason wants to weigh in on that, he can. But what if they don't have the $1 million to fix this, because that just makes it livable? What's the solution that could make everybody happy here?
Well, economic hardship is different for everyone, so that's kind of my comment to that. But I think in a situation like this, I don't see that there's going to be a compromise. I don't know how you can compromise. It's one way or the other, and you just have to look at the precedents. Anybody that comes in and reaches out to us from a board perspective, we're always happy to share deed restrictions, covenants, and information about the neighborhood. In this situation, I don't recall ever getting a question, in regards to the historic nature of our neighborhood and the process that would entail if they were to change the or alter the home in any way from a curbside appeal.
So as of right now, though, the board has not taken an official position on which way you hope this goes?
No. We are just trying to be as transparent as possible, taking the high road in this situation. Certainly, there's personal opinions in regards to the wants and desires to preserve history in this neighborhood. And it's not just about one house. I think we would treat every single home in our district, or especially in this historic, nationally recognized, locally recognized district, the same. But according to what I read in the staff report, there's only been two applications since 1990 in which the homeowner wanted to tear down. One was approved and one was not.
Okay.
And I believe both of those were south of 55th, outside that Loose Park Square.
Gotcha. Well, please do. I mean, keep listening, and if there's something factually that you hear on the air that you want to hold our feet to the fire on, do that.
Well, I think right now we're, you know, with the continuance, it's just one of those things that we're just going to wait until they have their opportunity to present their case, and everybody has the opportunity to present their opinion. And I think that's what the system is set up for.
All right.
Jason, thanks a lot, Jason.
Thank you very much for checking in.
All right. We are late for a break here. We'll take that. But what do you guys think, those of you that are listening, what do you think is the happy medium here? And maybe he's right. Maybe there isn't one. And if so, which way do you think this is going to go? Do you expect them to spend another $1 million on this house just to make it livable? Or is there a way to make this house look like it fits the neighborhood? Yes, it's new. Look like it fits the neighborhood and not cost this couple quite so much money. It's 1225 on KMBZ. We have a lot of people on the text line that don't like people with money. That's the reaction right now, is that if you had the $1.5 million to buy the house in the first place, you should have the other million to fix it. No, I don't think that's necessarily true.
Does that count if you buy a $150,000 house that you should be able to spend another $75,000 to upgrade it?
I don't think if you buy anything,
no,
you expect to have the money. Whatever scale we're talking about, I don't think you expect to have 2/3 of the purchase price in addition to what you paid for it to fix what you just bought. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's how it works. But people, you clearly don't like people with money. You clearly think that if you had the $1.5 million to buy it in the first place, then you should have the million to fix it, because you should just be bleeding money all over the place.
Yeah, everybody's rich Uncle Pennybags.
Right.
It just doesn't work that way.
And that's not necessarily how it works. So, but the rich person bias is definitely coming out all over the place here. The issue is whether they should have to. The issue is, and as somebody pointed out about this house, this historic house, you know, do neighbors want a house? What if they don't have the million to fix it? I mean, what if they actually don't? Regardless of whether they should have to come up with it, but what if they actually don't have it? What you're going to have sitting in this neighborhood is this sealed up house that is full of asbestos and black mold and bad plumbing
and
asbestos.
It's going to sit there.
And it's going to sit there. And is that good for the neighborhood? I mean, what if it sits there? What if they are forced to just fix it at some point and it takes them 5 or 10 years to come up with the money? You're just going to have this house sitting there that can't sell and can't be touched.
At the same time, and it is fair. I mean, going back to what we were talking about with spending the extra $1 million, even knocking down and rebuilding is going to take a tremendous amount of money.
Right. It's just going to cost less. I mean, that's actually a really good point. The contractor went to them and said, you're still going to spend a lot of money. Your options right now are to spend $1 million to fix it, or maybe 750 grand, I don't know what, to build something new. So they're still having to pay a lot more money on top of what they paid. They essentially only bought property for $1.5 million here.
And honestly, it also helps them that they're out of town, that they live in Chicago right now. They don't live here because they're not going to have somebody knock on their door with a camera.
Right.
And say, okay, what's the deal here?
Yeah.
So they don't have to answer some of those tough questions like, have you sued the guy who sold you this pig?
I mean, I'm sure they're looking at legal options. Yeah.
You would have to.
I'm sure they're looking at their inspector and saying, hey,
where were you on this one?
But those solutions are going to take a while to play out. In the meantime, they still have, again, they
paid a house that they were hoping to move into.
Right. They paid $1.5 million for a piece of property right now, that because the house is useless to them right now. Can't do anything with it. And like you said, they're
still a tent out in the backyard.
Yeah. Right. Buy an RV and put it in the back.
Oh yeah. The neighbors will love that
right.
one.
I'm sure that's, I'm sure
Cousin
that
Eddie move in.
The historic code.
Wow.
They're still going to have to spend a lot of money to build a house on this property. Uh-huh. And they already bought one house for the property. So now they're going to have to build another one.
Well, and somebody just texted in, there's a third option. Sell it. Yeah.
They can't.
To whom?
Who's going to buy it now?
Right. And if they turn around and sell it, you're talking about $1.5 million they dropped on a property they're going to be able to get 100 grand out of.
Right.
You can't. That's not a viable option either. I mean, it just isn't. There have been a couple of questions about the historical nature of this particular house. That I can't speak to, but a lot of that has to do with the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And the fact that it is where it is. You know,
and who owned it and how it was. I believe this is a relation to John Warnell.
But
it was Warnell the Fourth.
Thank you, Dan.
Who lived there, and it was built in 1918.
Yeah, so just a little bit over 100 years old. And, you know, at one point, a long time ago, I lived in a house that was on the National Historic Registry. It's not there anymore. It was knocked flat by developers. So this does happen.
It can't happen. Interesting. All right. Thanks to everybody who weighed in on this one. It's 1229. Dan's in the newsroom.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.